I want you to stand, please, this morning. Take your Bibles as you're standing. And I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. The Gospel of John, chapter number 10. I want to start at verse number 1. If you notice in your Bible that these, if you have a red letter edition, these are in red. Jesus is speaking here. And he's sharing there with the people that he's the good shepherd and he's the door. You look at the Gospel of John, chapter 10, looking at verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth them forth, his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatter the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words today. As we gather here this morning around this portion of Scripture, Lord, we know that Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And we as Christians today are the flock. He's also the door. He said of himself that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but through him. Father, I pray today in this room that we understand what these words are saying to us. But you said there in verse number 10, Father, that there's a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's the devil, and we understand that. And so, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit today might put a hedge of protection today around your word and around the people of your word, because it's important today to understand the lives in which we have today. We are to live abundantly, and yet so many Christians today live far below that. Father, bless again, and we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This week, as I was thinking about the message for today, I came across a situation on my phone as I was looking up something. I came across a situation on my phone that really, really touched me beyond measure. It was a young man who is a minister. He's an evangelist. I don't know how old he is. I didn't really say. But he was speaking about what the Lord God had done in his life. He was born without arms and legs. He had neither arms nor legs. And yet he was speaking there to the lady that was interviewing him. And he was telling about his life. He said, as a young man and he was growing up, he said, I had the greatest parents. They didn't abort me. They didn't even try to get rid of me. But they let me live. He said, oftentimes as I was growing up, he said, I wanted to get out by the swimming pool, but I couldn't. And I wanted to just fall in and drown. Because neither having arms nor legs, he said, I knew I didn't have any way to swim. And I would drown. And I found myself wanting to die over and over and over again. And I can't imagine. I said, I can understand the helpless feeling of not having any arms or legs. We take a lot for granted, don't we? We really do. But he said one day, he said, God got a hold of him. And God, through all of his misery and his suffering and all of his saying, what's the use? What good am I? What can I do? I can't do anything. Can't do a thing. God got a hold of him. He said, you can be my mouth. You can be my voice. You can be the very testimony that I have to an individual or to somebody who thinks that they're worthless and of no use. You can be the individual that gives someone hope, gives someone a new direction in life, gives someone the very reason for living. And he said, I came to the realization that I do have a reason for living and that my God didn't make any mistakes. And he said, I started by just praising God for what he allowed me to be and to do. And as I listened to him there, I'll be honest with you, my mind didn't go to no arms and no legs. It went to the miraculous voice that he had coming out and praising God. It touched my heart to the point that we take so much for granted and complain about so much in this life, don't we? We complain about this or we complain about that. You know, when we get to thinking about that, he said, my whole focus is to let people know and let people understand and to let people know that there is more to life than just living. Verse number 10, it says, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus' words there were, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I thought, that's what he spoke about. Here he is, no arms, no legs, speaking, and yet he is living and a very joyful, happy, outgoing, energetic, enjoying life individual. And I got to thinking this week, how many Christians today have that kind of attitude? And we're whole. We're whole. We don't have those problems that he had. And yet he is bubbling over with excitement in life. He couldn't even get down off the chair that he was sitting on. We look at people today and we look at Christians today And we ask ourselves this question, how many of us as Christians today are living abundantly, living life? Or are we just going through life day by day? Or do we have an abundance of the joy of Christ just spilling over in our lives? You know, we got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? A lot that we never entertain God with how thankful we should be. So what is abundant living? Living above the mediocrity. Living above, yes, Christians, yes. And I'm speaking to believers today. If you're here today, this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need Him more than you need your health. But I want to talk to Christians today. How do we define a life that's living abundantly? Do we find it through laughter? Or do we find it through the very presence of God in our lives, each and every day? We look at God's people today, and what do we see? What do we see today in the average Christian life? You see different stages of disarray, and we see despair. We see criticism. We see complaining. We see the very nature that we have that exudes from us. It doesn't really show forth that we're a Christian. And for a few moments, I'm going to just talk about some things today that I think need to change. Need to change if we want to live abundantly. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. You know as well as I do that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the devil wants to take the very joy of the Lord away from our lives. It might come through health issues. It might come through financial issues. It might come through personal interaction with people. It might come with a marriage that's being destroyed. It might come through with your co-schoolmates that criticize. All those things can happen today. I was seeing where the highest suicide rate in America is among teenagers. Teenagers. Why? Because of social interaction and criticism that they can't get away from it. And so what needs to be changed today? Number one, something needs to change when the very things of God, as we call ourselves Christians today, where the very things that God calls important don't really stir us at all. When we don't get excited about things that God gets excited about, we don't really care too much about the things that God cares about. You know, you've heard me say, if you've been here very often, you've heard me say, we need to love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. But if the things of God don't stir us, if we don't get excited about them, then abundant living is probably not where we are. We're not living above the mediocrity. You get excited about some things. Take your Bible. I want you to go to the right just a little bit to 2 Timothy. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's writing this to his son in the Lord, Timothy. And he writes this in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 to that young man. In verse number 6, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands." And Paul probably somewhere in the past, Paul laid his very hands on that young man, Timothy, and he prayed that God would intervene in his life and that God's presence would flood through him. And he says, "I want you to understand, Timothy, remember that day. Stir up that gift that was in you that day. Stir up that very gift. Get back to those things that really excite us." We need to change this morning. If the things of God don't excite you and me, they should. Number two, if the things of God don't excite us, maybe this will. We need to change if the glories of heaven don't interest us. The glories of heaven. You ask yourself the question, what are the glories of heaven? I don't know whether you've read much of your Bible or not, but if you go to the last two chapters of your Bible in the book of Revelation, you're going to see there that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. There's not going to be any more night. You know, some individuals fear the night. You ever feared the night? You hated for the night to come? You know, the older we get, I came several, it's been a few years back now, when I had my knees replaced, both of them, I was on a drug called Tramadol. My wife will remember this. I can't take Tramadol. Tramadol is a psychiatric drug that goes to my brain. And Deb will tell you this, I feared whenever she left the room. I feared when I was sitting in my chair that she wasn't around. I wouldn't hardly let her leave and go into town or anywhere like that. And I just sat there in my chair and I cried and I feared the very night. And then one day, Kelly says, "Well, what are you taking?" "He's on Tramadol for pain." "Well, get off of that stuff." And as soon as I got rid of the Tramadol, the psychiatric stuff, the mental stuff went away from me. But I remember that very specifically. There are some drugs that affect people different ways. Some of you in there, I learned this morning, are on Tramadol. And it's helping you. It does not help me. And I thought I was losing my mind. And I feared the night. My mother, she lived to be 101. In the last of her days, she was staying with us in our house, and she would fear the night. And I find that the older an individual gets, sometimes the nighttime is a very fearful thing. Fearful thing. But we need to change as Christians if the glories of heaven don't interest us. What are we going to receive in glory? Wow. Bible says, walking down those streets of gold. I can't imagine. There's no night there. The very presence of God is there. There's no sin. There's no other sin, complaining, no other suffering going on. You know, this world is full of suffering, isn't it? All kinds of suffering. Number three, we need to change and can't live abundantly if we don't see the very horrors of hell. If the horrors of hell don't concern you and I and people's lives, then we aren't living abundantly at all. As Christians, we ought to be concerned about other people's eternity. Why? Jesus said to his disciples there in the end of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When those horrors of hell don't concern us anymore. I believe hell's real. I believe heaven's real. I believe the Bible speaks about it more often than not. That hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The excruciating pain that will never go away. Without hope. A remembrance that will absolutely invade a person's mind in hell, and they can never get rid of the opportunity to one day accept Christ, and they did not. I believe those are real. And I believe the horrors of hell are beyond what we can possibly imagine. Number four. When the perils of lost people don't move us. You know someone that's lost today? You say, well, maybe it's you. Well, you'll never live abundantly without Christ. It's an impossibility. But when the perils of lost people in our own families don't bother us, we cannot live abundantly. It should absolutely invade our minds and our hearts to make sure that they hear the gospel message from us. That Christ died for their sins and our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we believe that. We believe that today. And in believing that, we can live abundantly. We can live above mediocrity. Another one is, we better change and live abundantly. If the Word of God doesn't attract us anymore, If you don't get up in the morning or in the evening or whenever and spend your time in the Word of God and call yourself a Christian, shame on you. Because God's love letter doesn't affect you. It's a priority. God's given us His Word. And when the Word of God doesn't affect us anymore, when we hear the Word of God and it doesn't affect us anymore, then we've become hard-hearted. I'm glad this week that I heard this young man preach. I'm glad I did. And all the people that heard him, I can honestly say, I bet there's not a one that heard him that day that weren't touched. Because God used him. He used him in my life. And when the Word of God, this written Jesus Christ, doesn't affect us, we better check out our spirituality, hadn't we? We better change if the idea and the priority of prayer doesn't affect us. It's more than just praying before we eat. It's more than living a life and just going, and maybe I'm praying, well, once in a while. If prayer doesn't draw us back to God, we better check out our spirituality. We can be drawn back by prayer. We can live abundantly. Prayer ought to be a special part of our lives every single moment, every single day. You say, well, you can go right down the highway and be praying. Just don't close your eyes.
Okay.
You can be in a tough, tough situation and still pray. We're told to. Pray without ceasing. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Those words are in the bulletin this morning. The last one this morning, and I'll close with this. We're not going to live abundantly if getting together in the house of God, if the house of God doesn't delight us. We say, well, should I enjoy going to church? Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Every evening that shepherd would take his flock and he would take them into an enclosure and lock them in at night so that they wouldn't be scattered in the night. And Jesus, in that portion of scripture, was telling them something that they knew, something that they could visualize. And he locked them in and he said, and I'm the door. And he says, and I open the door and I go out and they follow me out. When the house of God doesn't delight us anymore, you know, there's many people who call themselves Christians today. Going to church is just not their cup of tea, they say. But sheep love sheep. Sheep do not love hogs. This world is full of hogs. Very few sheep. The Bible makes it very specific when he says there's two roads, there's two ways, there's two gates there in Matthew 7. There's a broad way and a narrow way. And that broad way, many go that way. And the narrow way, few there be that find it. You see, these issues today aren't concerns in our life if we are living far below abundant living in Christ. These things won't affect us. Abundant living today is based on three things. Number one, God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 and Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that. Plans to prosper, a future, and a hope. I just wondered as I thought about that, the plan of God in this young man's life, how did God really fashion it that this man realized that God had a plan for his life? And that man, that young man, is fulfilling that plan. I heard another young man say this. He says, I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? He said, I am a pastor, and I'm a preacher, and I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for not following what God would have us do? Years ago, I remember a missionary that we had named Ivan Augsburger. Good friend. He and his wife are now in glory and have been there for many years. He spent 40 years in the Dominican Republic. And I remember him standing in front of the New Discovery Baptist Church. And he says, you know why I preach? You know why I am a missionary? You know why I've spent 40 years in the Dominican Republic dealing with people there through Satanism and demonic influence? And my wife has spent 40 years there with those people. He says, you know the reason I do it? And the reason I go? You won't. You won't go. And someone has to. That's the reason I go. And I thought at the time, how true. How true. He'll go. I won't. He'll preach. I won't. He'll give the gospel message to individuals who have never heard. I won't. Let's stand this morning. Abundant living. The thief comes for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And more abundantly. I'll give you an example of myself. As I was growing up in high school, there was no way in my mind that I would ever preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be one. My dad was one. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be a preacher because I didn't want to be a preacher. And then one day, God sent me to Texas, and I spent a year in Texas. And God got me alone, and he started talking to my heart and my life. And I went to a church in Texas called Melanie Park Baptist Church there. And the people there kind of took me in under their wing. And I started really listening to God personally. Oh, I'd heard my dad preach many messages. And I'd heard them. But I didn't really want that part of my life. But there I bought this Bible while I was there. And came home with it. My sister Cindy, it's been recovered now. That young man back there needs in. It's been recovered now, and it didn't look like this. I had wore out the cover, and I wore out, but I started with that theme. And I remember one day I was there all by myself in the room in the barracks. I was in the military. And I wrote down this motto in my Bible in the front of it. And I said, may this be my motto. No hesitation. No retreat. And no regrets. No hesitation. No retreat. No looking back. And no regrets. And I can stand here before you today with those words. I look back and I say, no regrets. No regrets. No, I'm not what God would probably want me to be. I listened to a preacher this past week and I thought, boy, if I could preach like him, I would have loved to preach like him. But God didn't call me to preach like him. And he didn't call me to a big church. He called me to Bridgeton. And I look at no regrets. And I can say without hesitation, no hesitation today, what a blessing it's been for me. And I can say there's been a lot of times I've been below abundant living. But man, I've been abundantly blessed. Can you say that this morning? Because of what Christ has done in your life, I am abundantly living. I hope you can. I hope you can say in your life, I will do what God wants me to do because I want to be what God wants me to be, and I want to go where God wants me to go. There's too many Christians in this room today who are waiting for some miraculous intervention, and God just says, go, do it, be. You let me start in you, and I will complete it. Don't hesitate. Let's pray. Father, you look at each and every one of our lives this morning and you know us better than we know ourselves, and you call us your sheep. We hear your voice today. But can we say we're living abundantly? No one in this room can say they live abundantly and being outside or not doing God's will. Abundant living is when we as Christians accept the very roles you have for us and believe the very life-giving blood given for us. Father, thank you today that you came that we might live abundantly. Dismiss us, Father, and we thank you for our visitors today. We pray for the young people as they have fun this afternoon in ice skating. We pray you protect them. Give them a good day. Father, as we leave this room today, I pray that we leave the very presence of God in our lives abundantly. Because we are abundantly blessed. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Shake hands, please, before you leave.